if you know Kenora, Ontario, there's a lot of rock there. And it was up there on the rock, this big tower, and me contemplating my life and my death, I thought about that tower.
Stiagute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from a young man who came to the place that many of our people have, believing that the best solution to their problems is to take their own lives. Thankfully, this story doesn't end that way.
So, my name is Eric Sinclair. I'm from Kenora, Ontario. That's northwestern Ontario. I come from an Ojibwe reserve. The reserve name used to be Washagamis Bay and is now called Obashkondagong. I grew up right by the lake, and we did a lot of fishing off the dock, and I liked growing up there right by the lake on the reserve, because my cousins were just down the hill from us, and it would be certain events on the reserve at the band office that would happen, and that was some exciting time too, just to look forward to being together with family there at the band office, and it was good. I really enjoyed it. Of course, as you get older, you start noticing more, like teenagers going out and drinking, and it's definitely, I guess, a different lifestyle down on a reserve. As a kid, I remember one time, my parents, especially my mom's side anyway, she grew up on a trap line, and they would go out wild rice picking every year, and that was neat because they would take off, my mom and her sister and siblings, and they would go out for a few days, and they would come back, and they would have big bags of rice, and this one guy from town would come down to a reserve and come in his truck, and he would buy the rice off of the people, and it was kind of like a collection point down at one spot on the reserve, and he would come and park there, and we would bring, or the adults anyway, would bring their rice to him, and he would also have like chocolate bars and pop and all these stuff in the back of his truck, and he would sell those too, and so us kids would be around, and so that was neat too. I really looked forward to those days. Come from, I guess, a non-churched family, and I just, I guess, would like to start by when I first heard about Jesus. I still have the old Bible that the Bible Seekers Club leader gave to me, and it was dated 1982, so I was about 6 or 7 when I first heard about Jesus. This lady would come to my reserve, and she was a missionary, and she would come with another missionary, and his name's Garth Roberts. He would drive the school bus down to my reserve, and they would park it on the side of the road, and the front half of the bus had no seats, and the back half, of course, had the seats still there, and so she used the front half of the bus as our classroom, and she would stand there, and she would teach us Bible stories, teach us songs, and help us memorize verses, and of course there was a little incentive there. If you memorize a verse, you'd get a sticker on your little shield that you had. And so learned about Jesus there, and really I really understood the simple message of the story of Jesus and how he had come down from heaven to live and then die for us and to save us. And as time went on in that Bible club, I remember her asking us if we'd like to pray with her to accept Jesus as our Savior. And she would do this once in a while. She would ask us that question if we'd like to do that. And I knew, like, just, being a student of hers, I knew that I needed to do it. And so I half-heartedly prayed with her and asked the Lord to be my Savior. But it really didn't affect me because, I was just doing it to get her off my back. anyway, she eventually had invited me to church in town there. A couple Sundays she would come and she took me off to church and I was really out of my element and I felt out of place and I guess someone who was pretending to be a Christian for me anyway, I was pretending to be a Christian. Scared me just thinking how far this church thing would go. And so I eventually stopped going to the Bible Seekers Club and I stopped going to church there and later on just lost touch with Ruth and Garth and started living the way I wanted to live. And coming from a non-Christian home, of course, there's no support there if you're going to church or whatever. And so eventually forgot about Jesus. Like I would think about the Lord and it was funny, I would, even as a teenager, I would pray almost every night and ask the Lord to save me. Every night I would ask him to do that. And I guess it's just something I just didn't really understand. But now I know that, you know, if it's a genuine asking God to save us, it only needs to happen once. And so anyway, my teen years rolled by or rolled along and I was about 15 when I had my first drink of alcohol. I remember even when I was younger telling my parents I would never get drunk or get into trouble or, and here, at the age of 15 had my first drink. At the age of 16, I met a girl and ended up living with her at my sister's place and got into smoking at the age of 16 and continued, I guess, a downward spiral in my life. And as a teenager, I think we all go through this as teenagers, suicidal tendencies and thinking about our worth, what are we worth, and why are we here on earth? And I did a lot of thinking about that. The girlfriend I had was in and out of youth detention places, and eventually we drifted apart, and I became alone and living with my sister, thinking about death and why am I here. I just really became self-destructive in a quiet way. And so life went on. I eventually moved back in with my parents and felt very, alone. And then just one day, there's this tower on my reserve. They had put this tower on there with a couple big satellite dishes, in order to, to give people more than two channels, I guess. they put some receivers in the homes and, we were able to have a satellite. And, that eventually folded and, I don't know, because of technology, I guess, and people started getting their own satellite dishes, and so that became obsolete, and that tower stayed there up on the hill on my reserve. If you know Kenora, Ontario, there's a lot of rock there, and it was up there on the rock, this big tower, and me contemplating my life and my death, I thought about that tower and wondered if that would be a way to end my life. And at the age of 18, I decided, worked up the courage, and I said to myself, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to climb up that tower, and I'm going to jump. And I don't know, just being a loner and being someone who didn't, shut myself off from the world. There was no one there to steer me from not doing it, and so I decided one night that I would, and it was the fall time. I remember that, and I remember it was night, and I wanted to do it in the dark, and so I was walking up that hill toward that tower, and something significant happened that night that I will never forget. I was walking up that hill and thinking about death, and it started getting windy, and it was just a little wind, and I didn't really think much of it, but it, to me, the closer I got to that tower, it seemed like the wind picked up. It got to the point where the wind was so strong that I was literally staggering up that hill, trying to get to that tower. And the sleet started falling, and it really caught my attention. And I started thinking about God and who He was, who I learned Him to be in the Bible clubs. And immediately that night, I turned around and I remember saying, "Okay, God, you got your point across."
Suicide has taken so many of our people. Somehow we've believed the lie that death will bring an end to our pain. But God tells us that those who die without being right with Him will suffer more than they ever did in this life. But it doesn't have to be that way. We read in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." My friend, Jesus died and rose again so that we could be forgiven and live in peace with Him forever. He came to give us life, not death. If you're interested in learning more, visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening, and remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there's more to Eric's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.